least after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who came against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, somebody say a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Let's pray. Father, in the matchless wonderful name of Jesus, as we're gathered here today, we pray, Lord, that by the express will of God, by the Spirit of the living God, that you administer and speak to every heart and life in this place. May your truth, Lord, resound, resonate, echo, reverberate through us, Lord. Let it take root in the good soil, the noble place of our hearts. May it take root, Lord, and bear fruit to your honor and to your glory, we pray, in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. Praise the Lord. Before you're seated, turn to two people and say, God bless you. May the good Lord bless you. Amen. You could go ahead and be seated. Amen. Here we have a portion of text which is caused, I believe, has been caused great consternation, amen, for people saved and unsaved. Amen. And I even know sometimes Jesus would just come out and state the truth. And sometimes, you know, it just state the truth, and sometimes the truth could just make you just jump into a flap. But how many of you know the truth is still the truth? Amen. So, and he's a good teacher, and a good teacher will always want to tell people the truth. So he makes a truth statement that is hard to understand. Amen. But sometimes when the truth hits you and it's hard to understand, how many know it's meant to get you thinking? It's meant to get you considering. Hang on a minute. I don't get this. Initially, I don't even agree with it, but it's got me thinking. What exactly is he talking about here? He says, if I'm going to be his disciple, if I'm going to follow after him, if I'm going to realize all that who he has called me to be, and somebody said disciple. A disciple is not just a follower, even though you get a lot of followers. And a lot of followers can end up being a crowd. And just because you've got a big crowd doesn't mean that the people in the crowd or that the crowd are disciples. Disciples are not just followers. Disciples are learners. You know, when we were younger, there was ask us, what did they teach you today at school? How many of you know, just because you go to school doesn't mean that you're a student. You're a student when you're actually learning something. Are you hearing me? So just because people could have a crowd doesn't mean that the people in the crowd are disciples. A disciple is more than a follower. A disciple is also a learner. So when Jesus said that if you want to be my disciples, he's expecting growth. He's expecting maturity. Come on, somebody. He's expecting change and transformation, not just a crowd. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be part of the crowd. Be one of the disciples. And he says, if you want to be one of my disciples, and the disciple is somebody who actually is not just indoctrinated with doctrine, that they're able to incorporate the tenets and the precepts of faith into their mind. Come on, somewhere, because we could all have a big head and say, I know this, I know that. But they allow what they received, amen, to influence their conduct. Are you hearing me? Their behavior, amen, and they make it applicable and practical to their life. And when you allow the doctrine to influence your conduct, how many people know it leads to experience? Experience. You begin to see the results. You begin to see the transformations. I want to be a disciple. You begin to see healings, deliverance, growth. You begin to see people get saved. You begin to see the grace of God moving through your life. You get the experience. Amen. The real experience is not something you just hear about. You hear about this person having this experience and that person having that experience. Amen. You become someone who walks out and demonstrates the experience, amen, of living a life, not just following, but being a disciple of Jesus Christ. He says, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. He said what? Signs and wonders. Amen. They will cast out devils. Come on, somebody. They will heal the sick and they will speak with new tongues. Tell your neighbor, I'm a disciple. And then he starts to talk about this hate thing. And somebody say hate. And you think, well, what's the God of glory? The Amen. God who is love. Jesus doesn't do love. He is love. He is the ultimate. He is the epitome of, he is the expression of love in and of itself. He don't, anyway, praise the Lord. And here he's talking about hate or the lack of love. Now, just before we go any further, throughout the Bible, there's four types of love that are referred to. One is sturge, which is a type of love which is family love. You know, someone's a relative. Yeah, they're a relative. So you love them. Amen. But you love them under the condition, the type of love that you have them is under the condition that they are related to you. You ever heard, how we say it sometimes? Boy, it's family, isn't it? All right. Yeah, so you're expressing love to them because they are what? Family. Then there is filial love. This is the brotherly, sisterly love. You know, brethren, Adrian. You have me, Adrian. Yeah? You get me? A long time me there with you. That type of love. Maria's with you. See them school and this and that. And, you know, we've been together. So there's this feelings and this affections that we can have for each other, amen. And we just based on the condition that we have this long-standing filial type of love. Are you hearing me? It's conditioned. That's the condition why you get the love and I get the love and you do for me and I do for you. Amen. We've been in this a long time. We've been sparring together a long time. Amen. The other love is Eros love, and that's Eros love is where we get the word erotic. It's kind of a sensual and a sex love. Are you hearing me? Amen. That's a strong, powerful thing that is. And anyway, praise the Lord. Do you need me to break that down? All right, you want me to give you the birds and the bees? Yeah, I bet you do. Praise the Lord. So again, when there's Eros in the air, amen, or Eros between people, there's an affection and there's an expression of love between people. I do for you and you do for me because we got a little something going on. Are you hearing me? All right, but it's conditional. It's conditional. The only reason this might happen, that happened because that's happening. Amen. Then there's the type of love that's explained in the Bible, which is called agape love. Some of you still can't get past the erotic. Come on. Can you move with me? I can see you right now. Some of you are like, can we shift now to agape love? All right, tell your neighbor, can you shift your mind a bit? Move on. And this is the type of love that is God's love. This is how God describes his type of love. It's agape, right? And it means unconditional love. There's no conditions attached to this. This thing got nothing to do with whether we got the same DNA, genetics, or we are family. I will do for you. Are you hearing me? It's got nothing to do with filial. You don't have to be my friend, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my anyway, whatever. You know, my Kopi, my Cody. Some of you know about Cody, isn't it? Cody, anyway, praise the Lord. All right? It ain't got nothing to do that. It says, I will do for you. It doesn't matter how you treat me or what you do. This has got nothing to do with Eros love. It's got nothing to how you make me feel at night or the morning or whatever. Amen. It's got nothing to do with that I will do for you, whether you do this for me or not. This is God's type of love. It's unconditional love. I could be your enemy. I love you, God says. Come on, somebody. Or you could be my enemy and you could hate me. Listen, God doesn't bring any type of conditions into this type of love. Amen. So these are the types of love we're talking about here in the Bible. And then Jesus says, he says this, listen, if you want to be my disciple, amen, amen, then you're going to have to, amen, you have to be willing to hate your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your Adrian, if you want to be my disciple. Amen. In other words, all these levels of love, he's saying that has to be a level of regard and affection and love for me that trumps anything that you could ever feel for anybody else. We sang that song earlier on, My Treasure, My Priority. Somebody say, My Treasure, My Priority. Amen. So let's look at the text in context. Amen. So So he starts to clarify this statement that he made. He says, listen, if you want to be my disciple, yeah, if you then you're going to have to make me your priority. Now, how many people know, for one thing, for somebody say, God don't need nothing. He's self-sufficient. He's God all by himself. Amen. We cannot add anything to God. We can't pump God up, make him feel good. We can't sway him, manipulate him. He's God all. He was God before there was anything. He'll be God. You know what? He's the eternal God. Amen. He was, he is, he is to come. He was here before there was anything. He's God all by himself. He does not need anybody to worship him, to praise him, to prioritize him, because we can add, nobody can add anything to God. So why in the world, why in this world, why in this existence would God want us to prioritize him? Well, the Bible says that God is love. And if God wants you to do something, it can only be because he wants to do something for you. That's the only reason. Well, he will command you or I to do or be anything. Because God is love. Lord, have mercy. He's love. In fact, it says in Isaiah, I think it's 44, he says, listen, I will forgive your sins and your iniquities for my sake. Because he knows, because what God is saying in that says, listen, anything that's going to compromise the very expression of his identity and his divinity and his personhood, he is love. He says, you know what? Rather than me make you and your sins and your wrongs, amen, corrupt my identity, I will rather forgive you. Woo! Hallelujah. Because he will not be found not being who he is. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. So he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate their father, mother, his wife, his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. So there's something that could hinder you and I from being a disciple, from being all we're called to be. And it's relationships. It's the degree of affection or weight that we place on our relationships with each other. Friend, family, foes, brothers, sisters. It's the bloodline, the DNA relationships. It's the brethren, the sisters. Any brothers and sisters in here? That person can stop you anyway. Any brethren and sisters in here? That person can stop you. Come on, somebody. Any type of relationships in here? Anyway, that person gets it. He is saying, listen. People have the ability or the capacity to influence you to do certain things or not do certain things, to be something or stop you from becoming something. There's a clear and present danger there. Are you hearing me? That little cute little thing that you've been raising, hallelujah, paying the bills for, they could get in the way of God's purpose for your life. That thing that you stood before, not that thing, that person that you stood before and said, yes, I do in sickness and in health, through the good times and through the bad times. They can stop you and hinder you and frustrate God's purpose for your life. That Adrian, that sister, who anyway, you're revered and done a bacchanal and woke up with and do all kind of thing with for all of them years. Partied with, work with, club with, fight with, do time with. they could, you know, back to back with. They could influence your relationship with God. And he's not saying that you can't have these. I mean, it's good to have good relationships with people. But he says, listen. God has got to be the priority. Number one. Oh gosh, you're not hearing me. Number one. Number one. Jesus he says, he's not saying that we have to have some kind of, you know, vicious despise and wish people harm and hate them. That is not what he's saying. That's how we understand hate. I hate you. I wish you was dead. And you just want to destroy someone. That inner bitterness. That's not what he's saying when he's talking about hate. He's simply talking about a prioritizing. Because I mean, one thing I've learned, man, if it ever comes to making a decision, and listen, just because you prioritize God, it don't mean that you kick somebody away. That's not the type of hate he's talking about. It's just that there's going to be sometimes in your life where you're going to be faced with choices and decisions, where the call of God and the touch of God and the love of God and the purpose of God and the destiny that God has for your life, amen, will reach a critical crossroads, and you will have to make a decision. You'll be forced into this, between this rock and a hard place. This crossroads, this line, and you have a choice to make. Whether your storge or your filial or your eros type of relationship and love with this person or this thing is going to trump and be a priority more so than what God is doing and calling to and doing in your life. One thing I learned many, 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 many years ago, when I was going through my hell, not even my mother, my brother, my sisters, my aunts, my uncles, my own kids, my wife, nobody could have stepped into the hell and sat down where I was sitting down in my misery and stayed in hell with me until he brought me out. Nobody. Nobody. And I decided years and years and years ago, you know what, Jesus, as much as I love people and I love my brethren, I mean, love my people, them, I mean, love my family, you know what? None of them could have helped me. None of them could have saved me. None of them would have done what you have done for me. None of them. And never mind just stepping into the hell of how I was trapped in the vicious cycle of drug addiction and oppression and depression. But what about the deliverance from hell itself? Opening my eyes to the reality of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes we make a big thing about getting delivered. Oh, I smoked fags for 20. Who cares? Oh, I was on drugs for 40 years. Who cares? Listen, I was sick and bound and on my way to hell to spend all eternity in hell being tortured and regretting the very life that I lived. But somebody who I was his enemy, but he demonstrated his love for me and he died on the cross for me. He died for me, suffered for me, lived for me. Listen, and he says, listen, Robert, I will never leave you. I will never, you know what that means? You know how we tell each other, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and your brethren just come along with you? Jesus don't mean that type of little. Jesus says, I'll sit with you when you're in your misery. I'll feel what you feel. I'll go through what you're going through. I'll share it with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you every step of the way, feeling what you feel, your fears, your doubts, your trepidations, your anxieties, your highs and your lows, your joys. That's what he means when he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's a double whammy. He made you a priority. You are going to make some filial, some stories. Come on, somewhere, some eros. A priority over that type of love? You can prioritize your wife, your husband, your friend, your brethren, your idren, your system over that type of love? Don't be an idiot. Don't be an idiot. Because when it all said and done, anyway, praise the Lord. When things happen, and people want to make them move. Come on, somebody. Or this happened and that happened. You can be like, who you are going to cry to? The same person you dissed. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got to be careful. Because God's call in your life is more important than anything. He said, listen, if you're going to learn from me and grow, you say, well, I have to be your priority. You're gonna, and the way he compared it, the love that you have for what he wants to do for you, what he's already done for you, his purpose and his call in your life when compared to how you love your husband, your wife, your friend, your sister, or whoever was going on, will pale in comparison. That's so much so that the people that you love will see you making steps and move this way and start feel like, say, you abandoned me. I mean, you looked there a long time. You hate me. Maybe the hate part is how people will perceive it. Maybe the hate part is how you might feel about what you're doing to them, because you're having to make steps to put your God first and make him a priority in your life. And you're not used to doing that because you've always been attacked. You know what Jesus said? Unless a grain of wheat separates and fall to the ground and died, it will remain the same. But if it separates, it will bear much fruit. And some of us are too closely attached. Filio, Sturge, or Erotic. There's decisions and choices you're going to have to make in your walk with God. Not one-time decisions. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Because I know this might sound a bit elementary. Yeah, we know that. You know, tell me nothing we don't know. But you'll be surprised how people, you know, somebody said people. Say people like who? Go on, say people like who? People like you and me. That's what, yeah? You know, yeah? We can go on funny. I'm vexed at this person. I tell you I'm vexed at this person. God is telling you, listen, your relationship was with me, but then we are prioritizing our relationship with this person, and because you're vexed at this person, I help you pick up the offense, and now I'm not talking to that person because you're not. Anyway, praise the Lord. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Yeah? And then sometimes we're supposed to love each other. Well, if you love me, why are you telling me what you vexed at the person for, the poison my heart and my mind and mess up my relationship? Now you give me something to have to deal with. You have to mind gossip. That's why Jesus, God, listen, let me tell you something. If you can't put God first, let me tell you, if you're with somebody, no, I'm talking chat about you and me. If you fail to put God first, you don't love your brethren. You don't love your spouse. You don't love your kids. Yes, I do. I've done this for them, and I've done that for them. And let me say this, son. You could give your body to be burnt. Yeah? You could give all that you have, all that you own. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. You can give everything that you own. You can come in here with the best gifts. You can prophesy. Come or prophesy, whatever you want to do. Amen. You can sing. You can dance. Come on, somebody. You can speak in tongues. And the Bible says, listen, all them kind of dick gifts and talents, what you bring to the house, what you bring to your relationship, they ain't nothing unless they are substantiated and grounded and inspired by love. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sad. It's empty. It's empty. It's empty. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Whatever love comes from God. It don't come from nowhere else. Lord, have mercy. Verse 2. I'm going to say it again. Love comes. You cannot have agape love without putting God first in your life. You can have I should be a singer. Oh, the other types of love. You can have all the other types of love and style it out like you love your kids, you love your spouse, you love your brethren. Yeah, that ain't real love. It's conditional. It's conditional. It's conditional. It's anyway, praise the Lord. You try and make a move from one of your people or whatever and see what happens. You upset them. You give them a condition to look upon and see what happens. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Husband won't kick you out. Wife won't kick you out. Kids don't want to talk to you. Anyway, praise the Lord. Pastor don't want to talk to you. You know, your brethren, your eye dream, who you're... These are conditions. Yeah? Anything you do, anything... These are conditions. You get mad, you vex. These are conditions. If there's anything that you want to aim for in life, the Bible tells us, God says, if there's one thing you want to, people are always aiming to be the best singer, the best preacher. Are you hearing me? You want, we've got this gift and this gift, and I do this and I perform this and I can do that, and I want to be noticed, and we have these goals, these things that we want to aim for, places we want to go and be. And the Bible distinctly tells us, if there's something you want to aim for in love, if you want a goal in life to aim for, aim to be an expression of love. He tells you, listen, you can speak with the tongues of angels, but if you have not love, you're just empty. It's just empty. It's nothing. What's it? If I speak with the gift of prophecy, understand all ministries. It's talking about all this giftedness and talent, and we need the giftedness and we need the talent in our lives and in the body of Christ. I love the body. I love church, you know. If it's one place you're going to learn to grow and be who God's called you to be, it's amongst the church and God's people. Because you have such high expectations of them. And they so ever let you down. And God put you in the right place. He puts you in the right home. Oh, hallelujah. Because God ain't really too fussed about what you think. He's more concerned, amen, with your love walk. That's the God ain't too fussed about your gifts and your talents and what you can and you could stand on your little finger. And are you hearing me? He's more interested in us being people of love. Jesus said this. He says, listen, the world will know that you're my disciples by how you speak in tongues, by how you preach, by how you praise, by how you work miracles. No. He says, what will designate the world to see and will amaze the world? He says, it will be by the love you show one for another. Are you hearing me? That's the goal. The goal is not about what you know, what we don't know, what we can do. The goal for you and I is love. To express love. Oh, geez. Hallelujah. And it ain't a feeling. Amen. Watch out for these. So you got to be careful that the relationship that you have with God is more influential in your life than the relationship you have with people. Even the people that you're married to. Amen. Even the people that you're raising. The people that you're related to. And even the people that you're friends with. Are you hearing me? Can you say amen to that? Amen. Yeah. You going to pray? No, I ain't going to pray either. You going to church today? Nah, I ain't going to church either. You leaving the church? Yeah. Me too. Been there, done that, seen that. I remember years ago, my wife and I were going to different churches. They went real quiet, boy. Somebody said, well, that ain't hard to see. are you hearing me? And then people in the church, oh, Lord have mercy. We can get so offended in church. People can make you mad, innit? It's funny how we don't get that offended on our jobs, though. Maybe we love money more than... Anyway. No. Maybe it's because you've got a family to feed. Yeah, that's it. And you got you understand making a sacrifice to feed your family. So now you know where Jesus is coming from. Amen? You learn how to handle offense. Because the calling of God on your life, the ultimate calling above everything is to walk in love. That's the ultimate calling. Well, I want to win 1,000 souls to the Lord. That's not the ultimate calling. It's to walk in love. Well, I want to give 1 billion over here to this starving area of this world and feed them. That's a good calling, but it's not the ultimate calling. It's because you can do all that and have not love. You ever been in need and you just need somebody to be there for you? And they want, all they come and do is prophesy to you. I know, Lord, stuff you give, mate. I don't need that right now. I need somebody to sit with me and understand me and hear me. Come on, somebody. They come to you and say, thus saith the Lord. Or they even want to drop some money on you because it's easier dropping money on you than dropping time. Oh, geez, Lord, have mercy. Are you hearing me? Love is more important than gifts and talents. And gifts and talents or whatever, you bring a gift to somebody and it lacks love. Keep it. What stuff you give? Amen. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. Let's stay in First Corinthians. Now we've got to be. Let me just check the time. It don't really matter because we're all snowed in now, aren't we? I'm kidding. No, but seriously, man. When the last person that came through the doors, they slammed the door, and all the snow on the top of the roof went. Now we've got to wait for it to melt. All right, praise the Lord. You're not falling for that one. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. First Corinthians, I think it's from verse 7. All right. Let's go to verse 4. How many people know? So I think we're convinced by now that we've got to, that the highest calling is the calling to love. Amen. And it tells us, go and list their love is, and how many of them know, there's a common saying that you can't love someone unless you love yourself. Yeah, I'm not too sure about that. I think it is possible to kind of like treat yourself wrong and bad and treat others better than you treat yourself. Because some people have this conception of this paradigm that they're not worth nothing, and so I'll do this for you. And I think vice versa too, it's possible to really not treat people right and treat yourself right and just care about yourself. But the Bible especially says in Philippians chapter 2 that look out for the interest don't just look out for your own interests, but the interests of others also. So there we have to be back. We've got to love yourselves, and you've got to love other people too. Amen? Very, very quickly, let's look at some of the principles of love. Amen? So somebody say, I've got to love myself. And then look at two people and say, and I've got to love you too. All right. Somebody say, I have to love myself and love others too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So one of the things, where are we at? Somebody said, love is patient. Verse 4 says, love is patient and kind. Amen. Love, what's the opposite of patient? Frustration. Can't get it together. Anger. You just want to quit on something. How many people know you've got to be patient with yourself and patient with others? Amen. I said you've got to be patient with yourself. Do you love yourself? Are you patient with yourself? Do you quit on yourself? God commands you to love yourself. I think sometimes we're more patient with other people than we are with ourselves. Do you give yourself a break? If there's one thing I am with myself, I'm really good in that area with myself. I give myself such a break that sometimes I look in the mirror and I forget, I call myself Kit Kat. That's how much breaks I give myself. It took me all night to think of that one. Prayed and faster than that one. No, but I'm being serious. I'm not serious about the part about Kit Kat. I let myself off the hook so many times. It's all right, Robert. It's all right. But I mean, no, seriously though. I mean, no, you got to be patient with yourself. Sometimes we just quit. We just give up, man. We fall 7 times and forget the 8th time, not getting back up. And be patient with others. Amen. That's love. Kind. You notice that love is not an affection, it's not a feeling, it's all action. Kind. Just be kind. Do something for someone that just exhibits or exemplifies or demonstrates kindness. Kind. Open the door. Buy them a pack of crisps. Come on, somebody. Do this. Do. Are you kind to yourself? Sometimes I go and treat myself to a little manicure and pedicure. Especially when I'm walking around the house and barefoot and I hear, I know it's time. You gotta be, kind. Amen. Oh, come on. Anyway, praise the Lord. You know, I love to know I'm walking around the house doing that. It makes you feel better to know that it's not just you, innit? Praise the Lord. Love does not envy. Woo! Woo! You ever seen somebody else get something done for them and it makes you feel like... And you know, some deep down part of your life, in your heart, God's telling you, go and congratulate them. And you're just rebuking that. The devil's a lie. That ain't the devil. That ain't God. That's the devil. Go and be happy for them. Go and celebrate them and just envy. Envy. And it's all right to feel that way because love is action. You know what? Oh, the best, man. I'm happy for you. And inside you're going, or am I the only one that happens to? Amen? But I have found that the more you practice it and the more you do it, after a while, your affections, your inner affections catch up with your outer actions. Amen? And you're actually walking in. You're walking in love, but then you begin to feel the love that you're walking in. Back in the day when people testify about their kids are doing this and their kids are doing that and this is going on in their life, I'll be like, I'm sitting there in church going, envy, I tell you, boy. You ever heard that? And God bless them this and God bless them that and they get blessed up. Then God said, that's what happened to Cain. That's why he killed Abel. But if you put God first, you don't end up killing nobody. God becomes a priority. Are you hearing me? Amen. Love does not parade itself. Jeez, these I hated all these ones. Because you know me. Me love a pulpit. Yeah? And me boastly too. Yeah, if I do something, the other day, it must be for the first time in how many years in my house, I got up in the morning and the kids, the wife, and the grandkids, they all left all these dishes all over the place. My work in the morning. And watch me know. Show them rubber marigold gloves. Let me squeeze the inferior. And wash them. All of them. I even wipe down the side, wipe the covers, give it a little mop, you know? Because I love my family. And as soon as they wake up, I wash the dishes. I wash the dishes. I wash the dishes. I wash the dishes. I mean, wash the dishes. They're all the one that nasty people, man. I wash the dishes. Shh. Love, really, love should be anonymous. You understand? Should be anonymous. Shh, if you do it, keep quiet about it. And you get, and then and we, these people, man, that do things, man, and yeah, I gave this amount of money. I'm doing this to check. That ain't love. That's pride. That's because it's too loud. It's parading itself. Amen. Love is not provoked easily. You can't get provoked. People can provoke you. Wait till you become a pastor. People can make you mad, you see. Especially them prayers people. Anyway. I'm only kidding. But the Bible says love is not provoked easy, man. You should be able to hang in there with people. Do you provoke yourself? It's not provoked easy. Nah, love is long-suffering. We've got to hang in there long with each other. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't shout me down. Love thinks no evil. I love this one. Real good challenge here. How many people know it's very easy for us to think the worst of people? Amen? We just, as soon as something happens, we think the worst. They done it because of this. We actually, it's almost like we've jumped in their mind, We know what they're thinking. We know why they've done it. We know what they're feeling. We know where they're coming from. And we just and we calculated, tabulated everything. And all of a sudden, we're mad and we're angry. And the person must don't even know what they've done half the time. Or they were thinking something completely different to what we thought they were thinking as to why they've done what they've done. Does that make sense? The Bible says we ought to dwell on things that are noble and things that are good. We must always strive to give people the benefit of the doubt. But some of us ain't got no doubt, have we? No. This is why they've done it. Like we as God. Nah, give people the benefit of the doubt. Amen? And very quickly, love bears all things. Amen? 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Just bears, takes it on. See, when God brings you into a family, a body of Christ, providing God's called you here, and this is where God's dealing with you in your life. That's why he's saying, when God starts dealing with you somewhere, you're his child. You become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? So he says, you've got to learn how to walk in love and bear all, but you don't know all things. But all things. Come on, somebody. Come on, Shannon, come on now. All things. I remember when Jesus told his disciples, listen, you've got to forgive your brothers. And Peter, you know, being Peter, you know, some of us think we're smart. We think we're Peter. He goes up to Jesus and says, listen, all right, Jesus, I get it, but how many times must I forgive? And Jesus said, seven times 70 in a day. In other words, we've got to have this love has to be a discipline that we walk and exercise continuously. We don't allow, it bears all things. It believes all things. And finally, it says, love never fails. It keeps hoping. Maybe you're believing for yourself for something to take place in your life. Or you're believing for a son, a daughter, a family member, a niece, a nephew, brothers, sisters. This is the capacity of God's love. It never fails. It never fails. You know, sometimes we might invite someone to church and they don't come back and we just forget about them. You talk to a family member and they haven't come to Christ. You've been talking to them for years and you kind of like forget about them and forget about them. You don't pray as fervently as you did. You're not as so passionate about them being saved or something taking place in their life. How many of you know sometimes we can run out of God's love? When we quit, when we stop and we think something and we give up and we're not pressing, we've run out of God's love. But the Bible says God's love never fails. So if we run out of God's love, we need to get back with God and allow God to begin to infill us afresh and anew. We need to allow the touch of God afresh and the Spirit of God afresh and anew to stir within us. We need to begin again, fresh again. So look, God, I've kind of hardened my heart. It's kind of hard. My life is kind of hard. I have this outlook. I'm finding it hard to forgive. I'm finding it hard to let go. I'm finding it hard not to gossip and spread poison. I'm not really loving my people or my brothers or my sisters or my church. When you find yourself like that, sometimes you know that there's something wrong. And instead of blaming and pointing the finger, they say that when you point your finger that way, there's three fingers pointing back at you. I finally figured it out after all these years. That's what it means. When you point the finger, there's three more pointing back at you. That's why Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, he said, listen, when you pray like this, Father, forgive me our my sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. We're sinning against people the same way people are sinning against us. Does that make sense? But God's love never fails. If you fill yourself with God's love, be in his presence, he will charge you, he'll give you the energy to believe what you need to believe for people and our generation, to pray for them, to live for them how we ought to live and pray for them. And he will get the work done. It will never, somebody say, I can't fail once I'm filled with God's love. Imagine that. The people you believe in God for, your sons, your daughters, your brothers, your sisters, your family members, your neighbors, you're going to reach them if you keep yourself filled with God's love. Ain't that amazing? Come on, go ahead and stand with me today. I think that's amazing. Love never fails. If you allow God's love to move in your life, to move in our hearts, to move through us, not just to us, but through us, it will never fail. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It'll never fail. Don't you have fresh hope now for your generation? Fresh hope now for your people? Fresh hope now for brothers and sisters that don't yet know the Lord? Fresh hope now for family members that don't yet know the Lord? If you allow yourself to be influenced and impacted with God's love will drive you to your knees to pray for them, to keep believing for them. And when you are offended or hurt or they reject you, don't worry. You're not going to allow how they treat you to influence you, because your relationship with God is your priority, and you allow God to influence how you respond and how you act and how you conduct yourself, because you're going to be filled with God's love. You're not going to be following them. You're not going to give them that amount of influence in your life, because God is your priority. And He will influence you. Amen. Just lift your hands. And say, Father, let your love be spread abroad in my heart and my life. Your love never fails. It never gives up. Paul said the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts. What he was saying is, listen, we're able to keep going. We're able to keep believing. We're able to be there for you. Because of God's love, because of God's grace, we're able to keep ministering, we're able to keep giving, we're able to keep praying, we're able to keep coming and going, we're able through the week to make the sacrifices we got to make. Not because we're all that, it's because of God's love. The reason why there's more of God is because His love is impacting our lives and we are exhibiting it. Come on, begin to pray. Say, Father, I want to walk more in your love. I want to be disciplined more in your love. Come on, pray, pray, pray. Come on, it's His love that we need flowing through us. And it's not about how much you're loved by somebody. Because if you need somebody to love you, that for you to love them, that's not real love. You're not loving them. We want the unconditional love. And the song goes, your love never fails. Never fails, never gives up, never runs out. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out. Come on, lift your hands and begin to and just begin to worship and begin to praise. And watch what the Spirit of God does. Sing it out in this place. God's love will meet you wherever you're at. No matter what kind of hell, situation, circumstance, how you feel, whatever's going on, His love will never fail you. Never fail you. Wouldn't it just be something if the same love that we experience from God, we give to each other? That'd be a real miracle, amen? That would be a real sign and wonder. That's what Jesus is talking about. They will know that you're my disciples when you have love for one another. What kind of love? Filial love? If you treat me right, I treat you right. No, that's conditional. DNA, genetics love? Oh, just because we're family, I'm going to treat. No, that's again conditional. Eros love, because we make each other feel good. No. No, it's agape love. And the only way to have that love is to allow God to love you, to experience that love for yourself, and then give it to other people. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Father, just lift your hands. Let's pray. Father, right now, right here in this place, we thank you, Lord, for the love of God. Love is not a intellectual, academic exercise. It's an action. We ask for grace, more grace. We need help, Lord. Because we've got all the other types of love down, but the agape love, that unconditional love, we can only get from you, Heavenly Father. Help us. May the love of God be spread abroad in our hearts, our lives, our minds. Help us, Lord, to walk and exhibit and demonstrate love to each other. The same love that you give to us. You're patient, you're kind, you're forgiving. You keep, Lord, even when we don't believe for ourselves, you have always believed for us. Even when we were your enemies, you still died for us. Help us, Lord. Give us that grace. And may we be provoked and to remember, Lord, that when we're running dry and feeling hateful ourselves, that we can come to you to refuel, to experience your love, so we can take it and give it to our brothers and sisters in this world, we pray.